You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. I am Allison Sutter from MLB.com, here for my post-trade deadline chat with Corey Brock, covers the Padres for MLB.com. And Corey, now that the deadline has passed, the dust has settled. As we talked about last week, the Padres were very quiet. I think that the whole baseball world was waiting for maybe them to let people know that they were willing to sell off a couple of pieces, and then they really didn't. So I wanted to ask you just about the players that had been involved in trade rumors. How is it for these guys? You know, you're around them. Obviously, they probably didn't want to talk about it a whole lot. But is it stressful for some of these guys when they're just waiting to hear what's going to happen?
Yeah, and I think it depends on the guy, really. I think generally, yes, if your name is out there and it's been mentioned a lot, you're a little bit leery of July 31st for obvious reasons. You know, I talked to Justin Upton in Miami the other day after the trade deadline passed, and he said, yeah, he was having a good time. He was out with some friends and was just sort of pragmatic about the whole thing, sort of like if it happened, it happened. I know Jed Jerko had some family in Miami, and they were just kind of hanging out at the hotel, but he mentioned him and his brother were checking Twitter, you know, kind of scrolling through that as the hours led up to the deadline. So I think each guy kind of dealt with it in his own way, and no one's probably going to come out and say they were extremely nervous or anxious about it. But I think a lot of guys watched what was happening with keen interest, and you know, at the end of the day, I think generally happy to remain in San Diego.
So the fact that the Padres opted to stay idle for the most part, was it more of a, I mean, the thing is that they were playing, they've been playing really well. I guess the worst thing that could happen for a general manager leading up to the deadline with an underachieving team is that they play like 500 and then, you know, for like 2 weeks and they don't know exactly what to do. But the Padres have really been winning. So, do they believe that they could still make a push for this, or was it just more that the right deal wasn't out there for them, or was it a combination?
I think it was a combination of a lot of things. So one, they have been playing better. They have been playing better, you know, since right up right before the All-Star break, and certainly since. I think that may have come into play. Even general manager A.J. Preller said as much. I know they also had some other – they had some deals on the table and potential options to move guys. So, you know, as much as they say, hey, you know, we're standing pat, we're going to move forward with these guys, I think they could have very easily gone the other direction. I just think they didn't see enough value for their guys, especially the guys with expiring contracts, free agents to be Justin Upton, Ian Kennedy, Joaquin Benoit, most notably, to make a deal. And, you know, kind of thinking that, hey, you know, if we move one of these guys and we sort of get a middling prospect, you know, we weaken ourselves right now. And, you know, these games still count, you know. I mean, you know, certainly mathematically they're not out of anything. But, you know, one good example the other night, Allison, was Will Venable. You know, he's an outfielder. He's been playing a lot more lately since Will Myers has been hurt. But he may be like a bench piece, a left-handed batter that can help a team. So let's say you trade him and you get sort of a middling prospect back. Nothing special. Well, you know, Will Venable helped them win a game in Miami the other day by tracking down this long fly ball in center field with guys on base and saved a run, maybe saved two runs. So he helped you win a game here and now. You have no idea what this smaller prospect is going to do for you. So it's kind of a balancing act, weighing how the team's playing now, weighing the return value on some of these players. And I think they just decided that there was nothing quite compelling enough to make a deal on.
Let's talk about some of the guys that are on the team. That we did hear Andrew Pastor's name come up, kind of, as you know, is kind of an unusual trade chip because it's a young pitcher who's under club control, which usually means you know that you don't want to get rid of those guys. But anyway, he had a very good outing recently after a bad one. So how encouraging was that? His most recent outing.
Yeah, and I think, very encouraging. And I think, you know, these guys are under control. A handful of these guys are for the foreseeable future. And, you know, if you go ahead and move one of these guys, Allison, you got to go about the task of trying to replace them. And they don't have a whole lot of minor league surplus at the top levels of their system right now. that just plug in holes or move guys up from AAA or AA. You know, with these recent trades that they've made, going back, I shouldn't say recent, but, you know, in December, you know, they moved some surplus guys who could certainly help them. Joe Ross is now with the Nationals. Matt Whistler is with the Braves. So, you know, yeah, you may be able to recoup some nice pieces for Andrew Cashner or Tyson Ross, but you still got to find someone to fill his spots and try and start these major league games in 2015. So, and, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, I read a lot of stuff about how, you know, these guys, the value of some of these players now won't be nearly as high as it was in this coming off season as it was before July 31st. And, yeah, that's true with some guys. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think you could still move Craig Kimbrel in the deal if you wanted to. I think you could move Cashner or Ross. And certainly it would give the Padres a little bit more time to digest and discuss, you know, potential options without an expiring clock on July 31st, you know. So I think this doesn't mean they're going to hang on all these guys moving into 2016, but they're going to hang on to it for now.
And let's talk a little bit about Jed Jerko. So it was interesting. We haven't talked about him in a while. He went down to the minor leagues to get it together. And he seemed to have got it together. So what are your thoughts on him recently?
Yeah, he is. He's cleaned up some things with his swing. You know, he had that nice rookie year a couple of years ago. And then, you know, I don't know. I don't think his approach changed at the plate, but, you know, he started expanding the strike zone, sliders away, fastballs up. So they sent him down to AAA in June to kind of work on some of those things, using the whole field, shortening his swing, and maybe doing a little bit better job in terms of pitch recognition and not striking out as much. Well, you know, he's still striking out, and he's even mentioned that this is still a work in progress, and, you know, it's still easy for him to slide back into bad habits. But generally, you know, since he's come back on June 30th, the numbers have been pretty good. You know, it's right around 270. There's four home runs there. He's driving the ball. He's using a little bit more of all of the field, if that makes sense, staying in the middle of the field and not trying to pull everything. So, you know, the Padres are still convinced there's a good player there with Jed Jerko. And, you know, he's under club control under a big contract that he signed in April 2014 that just gets spendier as we move along here. So we'll see ultimately what his future is. But, you know, I think they feel like there's still a good player there. He's still young. The minor league track record was very good. Let's just, you know, let's work with him and let's try and get him right.
And so I want to end this on a much, much, much lighter note that I'm very excited about this because the Will Ferrell HBO movie about Ferrell takes the field, which, as we know, was filmed at spring training in Arizona. The premiere is going to be at Petco Park on September 5th. And I am thrilled because I get to come out and cover this whole thing. But just an overview. So Will Ferrell, he played 10 positions, 10 teams, one day at spring training. He was going from park to park to park. It was all filmed on for an HBO special, and the proceeds all went to charity, a very nice charity that's close to Will Ferrell's heart. But the whole San Diego thing, it's funny because obviously Anchorman, it took place in San Diego, so there's always been this, you know, cool little thing between Will Ferrell and San Diego. So that'll be kind of fun. That day, the game will be a little early. It's on a Saturday, and then they're going to show the movie to everybody who is in attendance at that game. So you were there at spring training, right? Do you have any, like, particular memories from that whole thing that day?
I was back in San Diego, so I missed out on all that. But for me, like, the interesting thing, Allison, was after the fact, just listening to the guys, you know, the guys that were in the dugout and the ones that interacted with him just were, like, beaming for, like, a week afterwards. You know, it was like the Dalai Lama had rolled through camp or something. But, like, this guy just resonated so much with these guys. I don't know. Maybe you noticed, and maybe not in your interaction or at least in the situation in Arizona, but from watching him, he just kind of got this everyman quality to him. And he's so funny, and his intentions are so good with it, especially the charitable efforts. And he's done other stuff in San Diego. I mean, he comes and does something at a local craft beer bar to raise money for college funds and all that. So, I think guys love that. And I think they're just going to go nuts again on Saturday when they show this the Funny or Die video or whatever's going to be on HBO. I think you guys are just going to love it. So I'm pretty excited to see that finished product.
Yeah, I was. I covered that whole thing from like morning until night at spring training, and it was really cool. Like, he was at the A's camp. That's where he started. So he got like a physical and he got suited up. So there was a lot, you know, leading up to. Like, he was at the workout in the morning, and of course throughout the day that he was just running in and out of the ballparks as the games were already going on. But at the A's, when the game, you know, started, I mean, it was all fun and games, and all of a sudden he's standing out there at shortstop, and there's a spring training game about to start, and I don't care if it's spring training. I mean, these are still major league hitters that are hitting, and I got very nervous. I mean, this is a 47-year-old man standing, like, 100 feet from home plate, and you could tell by his body language that he was very nervous about this whole thing. He went like 15 hours, and he was so gracious to everybody. He was completely gassed by the end of it. This, as far as like, you know, a comedy cult figure, I mean, I'm not sure if it gets any bigger than him in the era that we're in right now. So it is pretty cool that, you know, baseball and Will Ferrell like came together for that one day.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right. I just remember watching it because his last stop was in Peoria. It was the Padres Dodgers, right, Allison?
Yes.
Yeah, I think because it was a night game, and that was where he finished up. And I think he was playing right field, and he was joking around with Will Myers about where he was supposed to be, or like, hey, I got this, you know. And you could tell by the end of it, the guy was worn out. I don't think. Any of us probably understand the magnitude of what that whole day entailed for him. So I think this film will do a very good job of depicting that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it, and I can't wait to cover it. So anyway, Corey, thank you very, very much. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah, sounds good, Allison.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.